good morning and welcome. We're so glad that you're here. We've come a long way in Habakkuk. And so welcome to our series on Habakkuk called An Honest Conversation with God. We have made it to chapter 3. We've been telling you for weeks, just hang in there. Things will get a little bit cheerier and hopeful. You just have to wait. Because as the saying goes, good things come to those who wait. Yes, and that is my title this morning, or part of my title this morning, which is Worth the Wait. So we're going to spend the next few weeks in chapter 3. But for today, I'm going to slightly pause the more verse-by-verse type of teaching we've been doing and step back in reflection on some bigger picture thoughts on Habakkuk and what we're learning. Because as we transition to chapter 3, I think there's such a valuable life and faith lesson simply in the structure of the book of Habakkuk. Something I've been thinking about is how the three chapters of Habakkuk are almost a metaphor for the Christian life. And what I believe chapter 3 teaches us is that the life of faith is in fact worth the wait. Those that know me know that I am definitely not what is sometimes referred to as an early adopter when it comes to technology or fashion or trends. I'm pretty sure I was the last person in North America to get a cell phone. Then the last to get a smartphone, which I did very reluctantly. Some of you know I will pretty much buy nothing new, not clothes or electronics or shoes. I've never bought a TV. I'm always a kind of a decade behind, and I just wait until the once kind of new and trendy things start to show up at garage sales or thrift stores or for free. And some of you are thinking, that explains a lot about why your fashion is always a decade behind. Touche, but still hurtful. And for some things, you know, waiting to find that deal, even if for many years, makes it that much sweeter when you finally get it. It makes it worth the wait. You enjoy it even more because you waited such a long time to find it at that bargain price. And for example, I still listen to and buy CDs. CDs are these round things. You used to put them in a player and they played music. But back when CDs were the only option, pre-streaming, I would never buy new. I always waited until years later when they started to show up in the used CD bins. And I'd spend hours in record stores, especially in the discount bins, just looking for that score, hopefully in the $1.99 bin. And when you found it at that moment, it was so worth the wait. And here's the point. We are willing to wait for things that we know will be worth it and for which we know the wait will make the experience even sweeter. And the question is that your approach to the life of faith and God's eternal kingdom that is to come? Will you patiently wait even through the darkness and the deserts of life, even if it means sacrifice in the short term or not doing what everyone else is doing, knowing it will make it that much sweeter in the end? Remember what I said in the opening message, that if you want to live a Christian life of any significance, there will be a period of waiting. Why? Because the biblical pattern is that revelation usually comes only after the waiting. And we have to look no further than Habakkuk. Think of all the waiting and struggle Habakkuk, and by extension, we, as we've journeyed with him, have been through. We started out asking in chapter 1, verse 2, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not answer?" And we entered into lament in that message entitled Waiting in the Why. And then we cried out in verse 13 of chapter 1, why do you tolerate wickedness, Lord? Why are you silent? And we titled that message, Watching in the Why. As we entered into Habakkuk's watching in chapter 2, verse 1, for how the Lord would respond to his questions and laments. And then last week, we looked in depth at the five heavy woes of verses 6 through 20 of chapter 2 concerning what will become of the arrogant, followed by that woe conclusion. If you were there, you know what I'm talking about. As the kids say, IYKYK. I had to look that up recently. Like I said, I'm a late adopter, so I didn't know what it meant. And we learned that justice delayed is not justice denied. And so we began to see a little more clearly with the eyes of faith. And now chapter 3 is the full revelation and explanation of living by faith in God's faithfulness. And as we'll see for Habakkuk, it was worth the wait. As he erupts in praise in verse 2, telling the Lord, I stand in awe of your deeds. The book is going to end in utter rejoicing in the Lord in verses 18 and 19 of this final chapter. In fact, we learn there and also in verse 1 of this chapter that this was likely a song or a psalm that was sung. For the last verse says, for the director of music on my stringed instruments at the end of the book. And verse 1 uses this weird word, shigionoth. What a cool word, which was likely a musical term, as the only other place it appears is at the beginning of Psalm 7 to refer to David's singing. But here's the insight and takeaway. Often we want to get to, start in, or live in chapter 3 in our life of faith, but we're not willing to endure chapters 1 and 2 of the faith life. In order to arrive at this place of revelation in chapter 3 that fueled Habakkuk's faith in living, he had to go through all the lament, the questioning, the pain, the frustration, the sorrow, the confusion, the why gods, and the silence of chapters 1 and 2. But the only way to the depth of revelation in chapter 3 is through the wrestling and waiting of chapters 1 and 2. So with that established, I want to spend the second half of the message reflecting on how we're learning to do this, to wait together, specifically through the lens of the hard work of discipleship that we've been doing and are called to do, and the essentialness of humility. So, worth the wait, reflections here on the hard work of discipleship together, done in humility. And these two H's of hard work and humility will be sort of the points of reflection. A lot of Christians want to live their lives in the revelation and joy of Habakkuk chapter 3, not realizing the only way there is often through the lament and the questioning of chapters 1 and 2. Sometimes we want studying the Bible and therefore our discipleship to be fast and easy, but in fact it's often slow and difficult as we wrestle with God's words together. Christian formation is, in fact, hard work. The Beatitudes, which we read some of last week from Luke 6, are hard. I usually read them and I'm like, why read anything else? Like, it's going to take me the rest of my life to learn to live this out. The fruit of the Spirit is hard. It never stops. Studying Habakkuk is hard work, as you've discovered in your life groups and through our Bible studies. But when we do it together, it's such a beautiful thing. I mean, I can't possibly live out the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7 on my own. It's impossible. But together in community, leaning on each other, we can start to fulfill the picture of what Jesus had in mind. And can I just say, I'm just so very proud to be a part of and to pastor a church that isn't afraid to live in and do the hard work of chapters 1 and 2, both literally and metaphorically here, in order to get to the revelation of chapter 3. I mean, if we skip the hard work and the heavy reflection of chapters 1 and 2, then we will not arrive at the depth of discipleship of chapter 3, where a deeper, richer, more authentic faith begins to form, because there are no shortcuts to a fully formed faith. This is sometimes communicated in the following way. I use this idea a lot in pastorally counseling people who are waiting, perhaps struggling with their faith. And although I made this illustration, which is probably obvious, the concept is in no way original to me. It's a fairly well-known philosophical, theological concept. And if the illustration is not helpful for you, then just kind of listen and sketch it out in a way that works for you. But you can think of the word naivete as simplicity, if that helps. But most of us start with kind of a simple and exuberant faith, right? A beautiful naivete, as it should be, where we're like, how could anyone not believe? You remember feeling that way? It's a wonderful, grace-filled period, whether it's as a child or as a new believer, and I believe we should embrace it and celebrate it for God's glory. But undoubtedly, some darker times come, whether intellectually, circumstantially, relationally, and that once sure faith starts to feel a little bit unstable. And we go through a period of critical reflection, which also goes by names such as a dark night of the soul, or a crisis of faith, or more recently, deconstruction. And this is a Habakkuk 1 and 2 type of experience, an honest conversation with God where we're asking questions. And nothing could be more important than what happens during this period. And having the right resources and the right community of people around you who make space for honest questioning, that doesn't shun people during this period. But if we're willing to do the hard work of getting through that season, which could be months or could be years, then what happens is we eventually, like Habakkuk, can return to where we started with our simple faith, but now it's an informed faith, this second naivete. It's an informed and a tested faith. A stronger faith. It's a Habakkuk 3 type of faith. And often what happens is we actually return to our somewhat childlike, exuberant faith that we initially had, but now it's a faith with depth. And it becomes actually an even more powerful witness and testimony. But all of this needs to be done in community, and especially in great humility. And what I mean here is that to be a humble community is to realize that there are people at all kinds of different places on this journey in a Christian community. There are people in the early stages of faith here who are just buzzing in this amazing grace bubble, and we need to embrace that and rejoice with them, and it's good for us to see that and remember that. But there are also people struggling, perhaps with their faith. They have a lot of questions or doubts. They're not sure about things, and we have to humbly make room for them and say, hey, we will walk with you through this no matter what. No matter how long you stay in this period. In fact, we're not going to rush you or push you through it. We will be here for you because it will be worth the wait. Because the worst thing someone can do is to go through this period of reflection outside of community. And I've heard or watched myself dozens, probably hundreds of stories of people leaving the church and then ultimately their faith during this period of critical reflection. And almost every single one of them has the same story, that the church culture didn't give them space or time to be struggling, to work through or ask the hard questions. So let's resolve in our hearts to say, we're not going to be like that. Because God was not like that with Habakkuk. Let's be a humble worshiping community that knows that none of us have it all figured out as much as we think we do. One thing we hear constantly from people is that this is a place where they feel safe. Safe to come as they are. Safe to have and voice questions, that they won't be judged. Because as Habakkuk learned, we can leave the judgment in God's very capable hands. We don't have to worry about it. It's not our job, thank the Lord. But this is, after all, a place for the sick and sinners more than the healthy and the righteous. And so it better be a little rough around the edges, challenging and uncomfortable at times, or else we are doing something seriously wrong. So as the music team comes, this morning was a chance to just step back and reflect on the journey Habakkuk has been on and that we have been on with him. And as we continue in chapter 3, you'll see how Habakkuk worked through the period of critical reflection in chapters 1 and 2 and his second naivete now here in chapter 3. But maybe you're here this morning and you want to get to chapter 3. But you're just not there yet. You're still waiting for the cloud of darkness to lift and the light to come. For you, it feels like the world is still defined more by God's absence than presence. And my encouragement would be to keep waiting. For there is no chapter 3 without chapters 1 and 2. And it's gonna be worth the wait. And perhaps this song that we heard earlier in this series might speak to you. A song written right here in community for Oceanside out of our Habakkuk study. So whether you're in chapter 1, 2, or 3 of your faith journey, let's reflect together and maybe just pray in your heart, Jesus, I will wait. And then I'll connect what we've talked about to lead us into communion together to close.